My wife and I went on a trip this year on one of these Royal Caribbean cruises, and I found myself in the evening laying in bed and watching the documentaries about how these boats are made. So I'm like on this boat, and then I'm watching the documentary about the boat, and I'm just like, Katie's like asleep, like drooling on her pillow, and I'm like, oh my gosh! I like nudge her. I'm like, these boats cost $1 billion. The boats on the Royal Caribbean cruise, they cost $1 billion to make. Do you know that? $1 billion, each one. They hold 5,000 people. The new ones, the biggest ones, 5,000 people are on these things. I mean, it's unbelievable. Get this. They take 3 years to make, all right? And during the time that they're being made, there's over 10 years, 10 full man years, work years of inspections that are being done on these boats as they're being made. And I'm just like, dude, these boats are amazing. And like, I have to know that like the boat is safe, because like we're like on this boat and like I'm afraid of whales, you know that. And like if the boat is not going well and like there's waves crashing up against it, like I'm nervous, but I'm like, dude, no way. And I'm like telling her how this thing is constructed. I'm like, we're totally fine. Like it's just, it brings all this confidence because I learned how this boat was made. But they really are unbelievable. They're unbelievable, those boats. And so when I saw these boats being made, like, I want to build a boat. So Kellen and I, we got the Lego boat. And we went to the Lego store, and I'm like, so which one do you want? And he actually picked this out. I put all the different boats that you could buy at the Lego store in front of him, and he picked this one out. And so we spent a couple days, like, putting this boat together. And this isn't even finished yet. This is just through phase two. Any Lego experts out there? Just want to remind you all or declare that this is an expert-level Lego boat and that it has 1,500 pieces, and we're through phase two. So it's not done. This is what it's going to look like when it's done. That's a picture of the front. It's a container ship. Anybody have this boat at home? Anybody? See? It's so cool. You don't even know. Like, it's just awesome. I thought to myself, like, I really got into boats, and this week, you know, we don't have a series right now, and I was just kind of thinking, like, what should I share with our group of people here at 514 Church? And as we're building this boat, Cal and I are building this boat, I was like, who built a boat? And all of us know, like, from Scripture, there's this guy in the Bible that built this boat. His name is Noah, right? He built this ark, Noah's ark. We've probably heard of that. Maybe we grew up or, you know, we saw, what's that movie with about the boat, Evan Almighty. You saw Evan Almighty, and maybe that's how you learned about Noah. It didn't quite happen like it happened in Evan Almighty, as it is in the Scripture. But Noah built this boat, and I started asking myself, like, okay, I'm going to share something with everybody. Like, Noah built a boat, and I whenever I do this, I'm like, okay, you know what? Noah built a boat. I'm going to take some time. I'm going to like dig a little deeper into the story, and I'm going to ask some questions. And so a lot of us have read the story, Genesis chapter 6, Genesis chapter 7. We've read it over and over again. We've heard about Noah's ark. We heard about the animals two by two. You kind of learn these things. God flooded the earth. It says in Genesis chapter 6 that like God was so angry and so saddened by the way that people were acting. Essentially, they were violent. They were extremely overtly sexual. There's all these indications in the text, just hang with this a little like crazy, that like there were these half angel, half human giants in the land, and that those giants were like these fallen angel people, and they were like spilling their seed into the ladies, mating with the ladies. And God's like, what is happening? My creation has like gotten completely out of control. And so he's like, I'm going to wipe it out. And then he goes to Noah and he says, I'm going to make a promise with you. You're going to be okay. We're going to put these animals on there. And then you and your family. And I started to go, you know what? Like Noah built a boat. Like why did he really build a boat? And it's not something that you can find out just in the Old Testament. You look in the New Testament and there's an author who talked about all these ancient godly, amazing men in the book of Hebrews, and it talks about why Noah built a boat. And I gotta tell you, this just completely jumped off the page to me. It just completely like sparked something inside of me, and it turned me right into a message that I have to share with you today. Look at what it says in Hebrews 11, verse 7, about Noah building a boat. You think that Noah built a boat because there's going to be a flood. You think that Noah built a boat because God said to build a boat. That's what you think, but that's not the only reason. In fact, I'm going to make an argument that there's a core motivation that needs to be your motivation for building a boat, and I need to build a boat, and we all need to build boats, and we need to build a boat for the same reason that Noah built a boat. Why did Noah build a boat? Everybody say that. Say, why did Noah build a boat? Check this out. Hebrews 11. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, that's the flood, this destruction of earth, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. Wow. I got to tell you, when I read that, it just jumped off the page to me. I just went, look at this, because I can get this, right? As a man, when you read something in Hebrews, this book in the Bible, in Scripture, about all these men who were the faithful, the greatest, most faithful men out there, and they did what God said. And that's what this teaches. Look, by faith, Noah, you see, God told Noah there's going to be a flood, and so he didn't see it, so he built a boat, even though he didn't, like, know that a flood was coming. God told him a flood was coming, so his decision to move into action to build this boat is an act of faith. It's like, okay, I don't know if it's going to happen, but I believe it's going to happen, so I'm going to do something even though I don't know. That's faith, okay? That's like my really hyper sophisticated definition of faith, okay? That's faith. So he had this like faith move, but like if you dig down into Noah's heart and you look at the human side, which Noah is full human, but you look at like his motivation, what you see here is that Noah, when God came and he said, I'm going to flood the earth. I'm upset with the way they've been acting. I'm going to make a promise with you and your family and two of every animal, and you're going to build this boat, and then you're all going to get on this boat. Noah was like, okay, all right. I'm glad I got a ticket. Okay, and then he probably went and wrestled with this thing, and he went over, and this is a little conjecture, okay? This doesn't say this, but he probably kind of wrestled with this if he was normal at all. He was a righteous man. He sought after God, but he was a man. He probably went over, and then he saw his family. And he went, you know what? I could just do this for me. But like, you know what? Since God said that I'm going to be a part of this, I'm finding my core motivation to build this boat in saving my family. Isn't that right? I mean, dads out there, right? I mean, why would you do that? If God came and said there's going to be, you'd be thinking about your kids, wouldn't you? You go, my kids, I'm going to build this thing for my kids because the water's going to come and I want everyone to be safe. Moms, you go, oh my gosh, my baby. Baby, you better go build that boat, baby. Come on now. You better make it strong. I mean, like, you're just thinking about your baby. It's like, oh, we got to put the babies on there. Noah built a boat to save his family. I have to tell you this, and this is the message today. I'm building a boat. I'm building a boat right now. Not just the Lego boat. I am building a boat. And my message for you today is for you to know that Pastor Joel, which I don't even go by Pastor Joel because pastor's like what I do. It's not who I am. I'm Joel who pastors. So you can call me Joel the pastor if you want to, or Joel who pastors. But you don't have to call me Pastor Joel. I'd be like if I came up to you and I said, hey, Lawyer John. I mean, it's just weird. Hey, there's Pastor Joel. That's what I do. It's not who I am. I'm Joel. I'm a father. I'm a husband. And my number one job is to build a boat for my family. You need to hear that today. Last week, I came in here, and if you didn't know, I just completely unloaded the vision for 514 Church. I mean, I literally had a sweet lady that's been a part of this church since the beginning come up to me and grab me by the shoulders after and go, did you get it all out? Because, I mean, I just kind of just unleashed. It's like I just let it all out. I literally just said, God, I got on my knees that morning. I said, God, will you just like,
explode the Holy Spirit in me and just let me share everything that I need to share. And so I share this whole thing about vision, and we're going to reach, and we're going to go, and we're going to win souls. And you know what? I want to do that. I want to do that so bad that my desire to do that can and does and will at times steal from my family. And that is not godly. You know that? In 1 Timothy, it says that a good leader, a good pastor, has to love his family. He has to manage and love and lead his family. There is nothing more important to me than my family. And do you know that this church could explode? We could reach thousands of people. And if we do, at the expense of my family, that is a failure to me. And it should be to you too. And what I am doing, thank you, what I am doing today is I am going to rally all of you to be a part of building this boat, my family. You need to believe that the leaders on this staff, me included, all of them, that they should be investing in building their families up, that they should be seeing their families first, and then we will be able to turn around and we will help you build yours. And that's how it's going to work. I did a master's program. I studied for 2 years and learned one thing. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't get your master's. My father-in-law said nobody ever regrets getting their master's. He was right. I don't regret it, but I only learned one thing. One thing. You cannot lead what you don't live. You cannot lead what you don't live. I've said that before. Nothing is more important than my family. And my family needs to feel that. And your family needs to feel that. And this is not just for dads, which is just hitting you right between the eyes, and it will in a minute, and mom's hitting you right between the eyes, and it will more in a minute. This is for everybody. A high school student, you think that your whole thing is to, like, become whatever you're supposed to come, so you can, like, be, like, the transformer, and then you, like, come out of your home, and you, like, take over the world. Your family's going to be there. You know how long friendships last? You know, statistics show that best friends last for no more than 7 years on average. You know what that means? That means you're going to have a really good friend, and then you're going to have another really good friend, and then you're going to have another really good friend, and through all those friends, there's going to be these people that God dropped into your life, your family. And you have to decide today whether you are going to be a part of making them what you're building. This is next level. College students, this is next level. You're not thinking about this. This is next level. You need to be thinking about this right now. You need to invest in building a boat. You need to build a boat. Everybody say this. Say, I'm building a boat. I'm building a boat. You see, what happens is you need to build a boat for the same reason that Noah built a boat. It was to save his family, but it was in the context of storms. Storms. You see, the flood, I mean, when you study Genesis, what you see is that essentially the valleys turned flat, the mountains went down, trees got leveled, rain came down, and there was a storm that wrapped its arms around the globe. And Noah said, I'm going to build this boat. I'm going to build it for my family because there's a storm coming, and all of us know that they're coming. You have a storm headed your way. It can be as little as the garage door breaking, which happened to us this weekend, or losing a loved one. You have a storm coming. And you see, what's going to happen is where you put your priority, where you put your pleasure, your priority, and your persistence, where you engage the most is going to be the most steadfast in the storm. And if you believe that your whole life is supposed to be about building something that's out there, guys, we'll just build this beautiful thing. Look, honey, I'm building this tower, tower of money. And you neglect home, then when the storm comes, that tower is going to stay, but your home could suffer. And that happens across the board. So what I want you to do is I want you to join me and join all the people that say, we want to do things God's way. And build a boat. I'm building a boat, and so should you, because here's what's beautiful. This is what's special. You see, we need to reach people, and we need to be followers who fish. We need to do that. I'm captivated by that. I love that. I love Jesus Christ, but I believe that if he was standing right with me, he would go, I gave you these children. I gave you this wonderful wife. You know, the Old Testament says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. My wife is awesome. She's there. She's all the time. And what needs to happen is my wife and my kids need to feel my love for them. And so do yours. And what will happen is our church will blow up with a bunch of strong families. You see, our church has to be built with your strong family. Nothing is more beautiful than a unit. A single mom, single dad, parents together, parents divorced, whatever your little unit of family is, your closest ones, if you make them what you're building into, we will reach a dark world together. We have to love each other first. We have to care for one another. And so part of this today is for you to know, like, you need to be thinking, like, if it's Wednesday at 3 p.m. and you think about me, you need to be like, Joel's building a boat. He's like some crazy man just building a boat. His boat's for his family. And when I think of you, oh, they're building a boat. Oh, look at them. They're building a boat. They're building a boat. They're going to do it. Now, here's the thing. This is really difficult to do, and I'm going to take you through how I do this and how I don't do this. Okay, this is literally like I am in this phase of life where, like, for the first time in my life, I actually have, like, a family, like a little family unit. Like, we're the little, I don't know what we are. We're just a little weird family. Mom and dad and kids and, you know, I mean, we're a little family. And so I'm learning how to build a boat. And it's a challenge, so I'm going to take you through how I'm learning, and I think that you should apply these things to you, and we can do this together, and we can learn and grow how to build these amazing boats for our families, okay? Here's the thing that's really interesting about Noah and about how God spoke to Noah. God told Noah in Genesis chapter 6 and chapter 7, he told him some parts of the boat, like he talks about gopher wood. Gopher wood? That's a fun word. Everybody say gopher wood. You gopher wood, all right? So you got gopher wood, and then he gives them dimensions. He talks about how long it should be, how high it should be. He talks about different rooms. But what he doesn't say is how. He doesn't give instructions. He doesn't say, now what you're going to do is you're going to cut down this red oak, and you're going to slice it in half, and then you're going to move it over here. And then, I mean, he doesn't say how to do it. He says, here's the parts. Here's the dimensions. Go and build a boat. So it's challenging, isn't it? Sometimes, like, if we're talking about how are we supposed to build this salvation type of relationship, family dynamic that really works, and it's difficult to find all of the instructions because Scripture can sometimes be mysterious. It can be difficult. If you really want to learn all the different principles, you have to go diving through the book of Proverbs and the book of Ecclesiastes and the book of Genesis and find the principles. And that can be difficult to do because they live in context of a narrative. They can be transcendent, and you go, whoa, 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 whoa. How does that apply? How does that apply? How does that apply? You see, when we pulled this out of the box, it had these two different leaflets with step-by-step instructions. It had the parts, it had the dimensions, and it had the instructions. But building a boat with your family can be really, really difficult. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you like three broad strokes that I'm struggling with that help me so that you can go and build a boat. Here's the deal. It's broken down into three words that start with P. You're welcome. Three words that start with P. You're never going to forget this. Everybody say, I'm building a boat. That's right. Priority, pleasure, and persistence. Say that with me. Ready? Priority, pleasure, and persistence. You build a boat with your family by making them a priority. And it's not just something that's on your calendar. Okay? Students, this is not just something I'm going home at Christmas. It's not about calendar. Priority is not about time. It's not even about quality time. Priority is about energy. You see, you have to make the decision, and I have to make the decision all the time to save my energy or look at my life completely differently. Wake up in the morning and think, okay, God told me to build a boat. He told me to build a boat for my family. So I have three different sections of eight, just like everybody else. I get to sleep for 8 hours, and most of us should sleep for 8 hours. Very few people can live and be healthy off of less than 8 hours sleep. So that's one third. Then another third is you go and you produce. You make stuff. You make money, you build stuff, you help people, and then the next 8 hours is supposed to be for building a boat with your family. But what happens with me is I spend all my time thinking about you guys. Don't take this the wrong way, but you're my work. I love my work. I absolutely love it. I think about you guys all week long. So much that when I go to the part that is 8 hours for my family, this energy and this desire gets sucked dry, and I walk in the door and I am toast. Anybody come home from work and your family needs you? Any moms come home from work and you're spent? Any kids come home from school and you're spent? Well, it's because you haven't thought, my family is a priority and they need my energy. You see, here's how I define energy, and this is literally, this is how I'm saying it. You need to be able to swing a hammer. I mean, you should be thinking, I need to have enough energy for about 4 hours to pick up a big old hammer and chop some wood. Now, if you were thinking about saving energy that way, like, okay, I got my job, and then I got to come home and I got to chop wood for 4 hours, you would do things differently on the front end because you said, I'm saving energy. Here's what it is for me. I have to have enough energy to throw a kid. My son, Kellen, we have this bounce house in the basement. He needs me to throw him. And you know what that means? I have to come home and I have to be full of energy. And that is about managing my energies. So if you think that you are supposed to spend all your time and all your energy at your job or at school or with sports, you might be neglecting the place that needs you the most and that will have the greatest payoff. You have to ration your energy. When you make your family a priority, you have energy for them. Do you have energy? When you come home, do you have energy? This is my heart. This is the most difficult one for me. I get toasted. I had a guy teach that, like, preaching, and this is not like woe is me. I love this. Like, I am like having a gas right now. But it is so true. Preaching and working that way is like dog hours. It's like when you do a message for an hour, it's like 7 hours worth of work. That's how I justify my laziness. I'm kidding. It burns you. My work burns, and so does yours. I know so many of you, your work burns you. You're dealing with clients and they're stupid, and you're dealing with, you know, classmates and they're bullying you and tweeting. You're tired, you're this, you're putting all this energy, and then you come home and you just go, baby, baby, dog years. Can I just remind you, dog years? I'm wiped. I cannot come home and have a good family and have them feel loved if I don't bring my energy. And if I give it all to my work, I'm cheating my family. You need me to bring my energy to my family. And I need you to bring your energy to yours. The second one is pleasure. This one is so fun because this is actually the one that I love and I actually do really well at. Because my family brings me genuine joy. So like one of the things I like to do is like I don't have any energy. So I lay on the ground, and I play games with them on the ground. And I kind of flop around and try to make them laugh and kick them. And, you know, I mean, I'm trying to, like, bring – I have no energy, but I'm so passionate about them. And you see, energy means you enjoy, right? Energy means you enjoy your family. You know, there's this concept that Scripture teaches. It's really heavy. It's really difficult for a lot of us to do. It's really easy to say. But it actually says it in the book of Hebrews. It talks about letting go of the bad and holding on to the good. You see, in order to enjoy your family, you've got to learn to let go of the bad, and you've got to look. You've got to look. You see, your family knows if you enjoy them. They can feel it. When you come home from school, when mom picks you up and you get in the car, if you're just, you know, whatever, bitter Betty or whatever, like if that's what you do, if you bring that in, then you literally just immediately put up these guardrails, you put up this distance, and they just go, oh, you know, I don't like to be around them because they don't like to be around me. My family, they see my smile. They hear me come home and they hear the tenor in my voice elevate because I can't wait to see them. You know why I'm able to do that? It's because I try to ration a little bit of energy and then I come home and I let them dance with my soul. That's what you gotta do. You have to ask God to truly help you see beyond all this trash and look at the beauty that is your family and let your heart come alive. If you're single or you're just married, do you enjoy your spouse? Are you enjoying all these other things in life? Are you overstimulated by your job and by the conversations that you're having and by this person and this person and this person that you literally have nothing left in the enjoyment column when you walk into the door? If you're doing that, you're not building a boat. You're going to need a life raft. You have got to say, God, bring pleasure to me. See, for me, this is easy because, I mean, these little kids, I honestly, if you don't enjoy, like, if you have little kids, like, I struggle with that. Like, I probably want to punch you. Like, like, I just don't get, you got these little, precious, perfect little cheeks. I just kiss them all day. My two little boys, they just, yeah, stop kissing me. I mean, I want to kiss them all day. Little, these little boys, I just want to, I kind of, when I kiss them, I bite their cheek a little bit. They bring me joy. My wife, I come home and my wife, I see her and she's just been raising these hooligans. I mean, they are just like, and like that brings me joy. I'm just so glad that she's doing it. I love her. I've talked about how we've made it a priority to enjoy. Your family knows it. You see, if you don't like being home, when you come home and you're in the next room, you know the family knows you're there. You know that? They know you're there. They're just like, oop, Jesse's home. Don't want to go in the kitchen. She didn't make the cheerleading squad. Dad's home. The door got slammed a little louder than normal. I'm not going up to the bedroom. Your family needs to feel it. Priority. Pleasure and persistence. Persistence. When your family is your priority, you bring your energy. When your family pleases you, you enjoy them. When you persist and work, you endure. You endure. And the challenges are coming from financial to health, jobs, relationships, family. They all are coming. And if you spend time building a boat with your family, you see, you build that thing knowing that that wave is going to crash over the bow. And then they watch you fight. They watch you work. You see, your family feels it when you fight for them. And this can take on so many different aspects. Do you show them that they are number one, that they make you happy, and that when things get difficult, that you will put resources, time, and energy to the side for them? Some of you have some things right now that are so challenging, and they're actually stealing and they're attacking this unit that you have. And your family needs to see you render those things unimportant. You see, you fight for your family, you just continue to fight through the struggle. You just love them for who they are, not for what they do. They just don't have the ability to make you stop fighting for them. There's just nothing that can happen. And this comes from gospel power. That's what this is. This comes from Holy Ghost, gospel, Jesus, resurrection power. Beard pulled, spit on, kicked, hung on a cross. I love them for it. They know not what they do. I love them anyway. Nothing will stop me. I'm fighting. And people that build great families endure, and they fight, and they take it, and they push, and they call the family sacred, and they build up walls of priority, pleasure, and persistence to build an ark that can survive it all. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to just let this kind of saturate your mind. I want you to just kind of just breathe this in a little bit. Think about this. And what I want you to do is just two little simple things. I want you to pray for me. Will you pray for me? That's what I'm asking. Will everybody in here pray for me? I believe that there's power in prayer. I believe that if you just talk to God and you would take 10 seconds, I don't need like, dear Lord, help. I don't need a lot. I just need you to say, help Joel build a boat. Help Joel love his family. Help Joel keep the main thing the main thing. If it starts with help and then Joel right after it, pretty much anything. Help Joel, help Joel, help Joel. That can be it. That could be the whole prayer. Help Joel. And I promise that I'm praying for you. You see, I'm consumed. I want to lead. I want to love you. But I think that the key to this is a bunch of strong families and arcs lined up. You know, the story of the ark, it's a picture of salvation. You know that? In school, they call it a Christology. It's a picture of Jesus in the Old Testament. You see that all throughout the Old Testament. The ark, those that are on the ark, those that are in Christ, those that know Jesus, those are the ones who are going to be dry when the storm ends. Those are the ones who've trusted Jesus and are going to sail into eternity with God. It's a picture of Christ. What I'm asking you to do is become that for your families. I'll pray for you, and you pray for me. Let's pray. God, help us to build an ark. Help us, please. Fill our minds with pleasure. Help us to be persistent, God. Please make our families a priority. Help us not to lose sight of the main thing. Bring life where we need it, God. Thank you for the picture of the cross. Thank you for its salvation. Thank you for loving us for who we are, not what we do. In Jesus' name, amen.